helping you break through barriers to grow a strong internet business. This is Internet Marketing Speed with James Schramko.
James Schramko here from Internet Marketing Speed, and I thought it'd be fun to invite Steve Ovens from Internet Software Systems back again because he made me laugh the first time. Welcome back, Steve-O.
G'day, James. Good to be back.
Now, yesterday we had an interesting day. I held a small mastermind gathering at my house and we had half a dozen people talking about some business concepts. So I thought it'd be good to just go through a couple of them and talk about probably the highlights. What sort of things stood out for you?
Well, the one that really struck me was we talked about the concept, or everybody that was there was sort of saying, well, you know, since I started Silver Circle, I've had really good growth in my business, but you know, I don't know that I can really attribute that to Silver Circle. It struck me what a strange coincidence it was that there was so many people that were having great business growth. You used an analogy for that, which I thought was just a really good analogy, which was repotting. I think you posted about it on jamesschramko.com yesterday, at the end of the day, where you just said, well, you know, what we've done is we've moved into an environment which allows us to grow. So it's the conditions that have enabled us to grow.
Yeah, it's like literally we've smashed the clay pot off the small pot plant and planted it into the ground. And the roots can just go really deep and the tree can grow much stronger. And I think probably in when we're trying to analyze, I think firstly we're very poor judges of why we do things. Like we put the wrong causation sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair.
And we're also maybe looking for that specific one tactic, you know, that I did this one thing.
I hit this switch.
And I got that. And maybe we're trained to think that because if you read enough sales copy things out there.
Oh, yeah, if you just press that button, money will start flowing into your bank account.
Maybe that's not the full key to it. Maybe it's more strategic than that. And it's an environmental thing. Certainly, if you surround yourself with other people who are growing in a similar way, and you all, if you shed off a little bit of fear and you get good advice and you set the foundations right, it's not surprising to me that people are saying their business has doubled in even just in 3 months, which is phenomenal and totally expected.
And fun.
It is fun. One of the key reasons, and we should put some context to this, one of the key reasons I think that it's been working well is because the people at the workshop have been going through a series of steps to get to that point. It wasn't a cold group. It was a warm group.
Very much so, yes.
Have been going through on a weekly call for 3 months and regular catch-ups, a couple of one-on-one sessions where we've gone through a spreadsheet. And that was partly me introducing back a process that I used to do when I worked for a $100 million a year business. We were very, very keen on checking the statistics and Excel spreadsheets to figure out our market share, our growth by product line, who our repeat customers were. We would intensively market to specific people in the database based on how many purchases they made, to what value. And I've introduced those sort of things back into my own business, which are the sort of things that we should be doing. And I suspect probably very few businesses are doing because they get caught up in all the tactical.
Well, you get caught up in the tactical, and also I think, as you said, we're poor judges of what has caused something to happen. I think as entrepreneurs, the danger is that we're also very poor judges of how well our business is going. You know, we kind of, we are the World War One fighter pilot with a hand on the stick, going, "Oh, I'm gonna, you know, I can fly this thing anywhere, and it's all going great," until you crash. And the spreadsheet, the numbers don't lie.
Spreadsheets like having that navigation unit just saying, look, you know, turn left at the next cloud because you're 5 kilometres off course.
Pull up.
That's it. See that mountain there on the screen?
Yeah.
It ain't going to be pretty. So I guess flying blind, you know, a helicopter license flying, they have to actually black out the screen and do like night thing or without instruments and stuff that, or flying just off instruments and not visibility. And I think in our business, if we've got the ability to do some analysis and if we know the key things we're looking for, it actually really helps you have a more successful business. And most people listening to this have an internet-related business on the internet. And of most businesses, this actually probably gives us more access to data than just about anything else. We know that the visits. We can measure the conversions.
Exactly.
We can split test at any time two different offers or paths or channels. We can video versus PDF, or we can test long versus short emails. There's so many things we can test in order to work out some of the key things. I wonder what some of the key things we should be measuring would be.
Well, actually, just talking about that, I think it was interesting yesterday, and it speaks to the group that was there, that, you know, when you said, okay, who here is doing split testing, who's doing conversion optimization, that half the people in the room were already doing it and everybody there was measuring already. And I think that was one of the things that I think made the group possible to work as well as it did, was just simply that people were prepared. I think that until you reach a certain point, you don't have the context to really get into the strategy of, okay, here's how we should, you know, turn the ship. You're still so caught up in building the ship, or just, you know, having the tactics in place.
Well, that's out of a group of half a dozen people. They had robust systems in place because that was step one.
Team,
they've got Zendesk support. They've got live chat on their sites. They've got proper business setup in terms of accounting and legal structure, because they're all the foundation steps that we tick off before we even move into the tactical.
Yep.
It's like, how's the structure of this thing? And then we design, you know, where are we aiming this ship? What's the hypothesis? What are we aiming to do there? And then the second step is we actually drill down into all the core activities, and we get the real aha moments about how much revenue is coming in. How much did it cost us to get that revenue?
Yep.
And the real cracker is, how many hours did we spend to get that? And quite often we need to buy back some hours when I'm doing these analyses, it's instantly recognizable to me when someone's going to be in for a whopping hours when the costs are too low.
Yep.
If they've got reasonable revenue and their costs are a very low percentage, then they've actually got a job.
Mm.
And if their costs are a bit higher, then I know they've actually started pushing that time across to a cost, and they can scale up much bigger that way, because we only get about 200 hours a month.
Yeah.
You know, the average person, about 200 hours a month.
I remember when we went through it for my business, and it was quite confronting for me that the software, creating software part of my business, which I love, but it was just so clear on, you know, once it's there in black and white in the spreadsheet, you can't avoid the fact that, man, there's a lot of hours go into this thing for, you know, what I think was $12.30 an hour or something I was making on that.
So you could be better off at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you're guaranteed a profit. There's really no, you don't have to think about
it
once you take your apron off.
That's right.
So, I mean, it is confronting, but it's something that we should do as a business owner, is to know the numbers. So that was a big takeaway.
Breaking that clay pot has meant for me that I have been able to move into much more profitable areas of the business. So it's been it was great.
And you decision. Can you actually know which is profitable.
I know what's profitable. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's even given me some ideas on how I can go back and make the software piece more profitable. Now I've got that, in my head. But look, in terms of the areas that I thought were great yesterday, I think there were two real standouts for me. We really drilled into that concept. You mentioned it, or you had a whole talk on it, that Fast Food Formula 3 called veneering, and we really drilled into how that can apply to people's businesses. And I think you could just look in that small room of people. All of us was just sitting there with, oh, of course, suddenly people, I know talking to one of them that hadn't really considered it. Like, it just didn't seem like it had applied to them. And for me as well, it's like I heard you say it, it didn't make sense. When we drilled into it, I was like, now it I is can the big, see. It's That's the big aha.
It is the big thing. And in fact, a funny story I had, I think I must have put a snippet of that concept of veneering on my blog before, and I had someone unsubscribe, and it says reason why, and it said, you're operating at a different level than I can comprehend. So It is actually a simple concept, yeah. But it is also, it's so overwhelmingly powerful. And this, just as a way of re-explaining it, the concept is that you have your core business engine, whatever that is, and then you just wrap a layer on top of it that can have its own brand or identity and function separately from that engine. And that layer is the thing that you could actually sell,
yes,
and sell off and create another one if you want. And you could even supply that layer with engine
your core
power.
Engine. That's right.
Or they could replace it with a different engine. It's really like a car.
Yeah,
you know, you've built this fantastic engine and gearbox and wheels, and then you put a body on top of it, and someone might buy the car, but you could say, you can have the whole car, but I'm just going to keep the engine.
Yep.
But you could lease the engine if you want, or
yeah,
you could replace it with your own. It's up to you.
And car companies do that, don't they?
They do.
And Lexus, and even some of the, you know, Holden and some of the Japanese cars.
You'll
car
find
markets.
The same motor in same many motor. Different chassis, yeah, and they do different things for each person.
They're designed for different target market segments.
And they're specialised. So if you take trucks, you know, they'll have the same rolling chassis, but they'll have completely different packs on them. You could have a fire brigade truck that's four-wheel drive that can go up mountains and has short gear ratios, but then the same sort of truck manufacturer might make one for long-haul freight that can tow three trailers at higher speeds and different,
yep,
gearing ratios, but they just tailor it according to the market.
Mm.
And that solution is worth a lot of money to the right target,
yeah,
end user.
That's right. The fire brigade people aren't going to buy long-haul trucks.
So what's the big outcome of veneering? It is basically that you can work on getting your base business set up properly and working efficiently, and then, or even more importantly, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's effective, then you can start thinking about how can you create spin-offs or side versions of this by just wrapping a layer on top that someone could really recognize as being useful for them.
Yes.
So if you are a web developer, your core engine might be the web development team,
mm-hmm,
but you might be able to create a separate business that is websites for real estate agents.
Exactly.
You know,
yes,
like websites for realestateagents.com or something like that. Build that up, but use your website company as the contract supplier to that business.
Yep.
And have, say, affiliates promoting that business, so they sell it. So someone else sells it, your company supplies it, and then you could actually sell that whole thing off and just break it off the top of your business. Someone pays you for it, and then they could use your website supply if they want, or they could go on.
They could swap their own in if they had a team.
Maybe they're a website company looking,
yeah,
to increase their market share into the website market for real estate agents, and they see high value in that.
Mm.
But doing this, you can actually create and sell off pieces of your business without having to sacrifice that core team that you've built up,
yes,
and the strong asset and the wonderful people that you're working with. You can keep all of that, but create layer on top.
And that was, I mean, there were two things that actually flowed from that. You just alluded to one, which is that you can, that it gives you the ability to create businesses that you can sell. And of course, what that does is bring forward your cash flow. I'm regurgitating your words here.
this is great.
does that sound like really good strategic advice? Yeah, it allows you to sell the business at a multiple of earnings, which brings forward your cash flow. So imagine that instead of building up a business, so a typical entrepreneur, build up a business, work in it for, you know, 5 to 10 years or whatever, get a great business going, and then sell that business at the end for a multiple of, you know, 3, 4, 5 times earnings, then what do? Now I've got to start again.
Yeah.
Whereas with this model, I'm building the engine. Once I've got the engine right, well, now I create the veneer level, and then that's a saleable business. I create one or two or three of those, and I can sell one of them every year.
Yeah, for even if you did one a year for 3 times multiples,
yeah,
over 3 years, you've got 9 years worth of income.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
you still have the core engine.
And you still got the core engine.
You've definitely retained that concept.
Yeah, yeah.
There,
but the other thing that actually flowed out of that was it also addresses a flip side problem, which is I've got this great business or I've got this great team and they're doing great stuff, but I'm concerned that I've sort of painted myself into a corner with the business that I've got. What if, you know, so let's just say that my business is creating MySpace pages, okay, and I've got this great team and they do great designs and they're fantastic and everything else, but now the market's dropped out of MySpace and I suddenly realize that my whole business depended on MySpace.
So what do you do, Steve?
Well, what do you do? I mean, and this is the thing, because as an entrepreneur, if you think, well, you know, I'm kind of locked into that thing that I'm doing at the moment. But of course, you're not locked in. You can just say, well, I've got this core team that are really good. What are the skills the team's got? You know, they can do great design, and you know they know how to look at a third party platform and evaluate how they can customize it to make it look sexy. Awesome. I've got skills, and yeah. I can deploy those to solve another problem.
An inventory of all the skills that are in there, and then you recognize what other businesses need those skills, and you could stick another layer on top of that engine and aim it at a different market.
Yes.
Like a lot of ski boats on the rivers here where they're towing skiers are using Holden engines that are straight from a car.
Really?
Exactly the same engine. And they just stick them in a ski boat. So you literally have gone from the MySpace car to whatever the new Google Plus ski boat.
It's going to be big.
It's going to take off. Oh, dear. Was there anything else that you thought was interesting that we covered in the workshop yesterday, Steve-O?
No, the rest of it was pretty boring.
Nice lemon tart.
The lemon tart was good. Yeah. Look, the other one that, and it always is something that comes out every time you do a workshop, but it's worth restating, is just the importance of getting the core values right in the team. And just that little wrinkle, it wasn't a wrinkle really, but the little thing that you said yesterday that it was fresh for me was, where do those core values come from? It's not top down. Like, it's not your typical thing. The managing director goes off with a couple of the other directors and comes back and says, these are our values, and we create a value statement and a mission statement, stick it on the wall, and nobody cares. Where do they come from?
That's worked well for all good dictators.
Oh, absolutely.
but then sometimes they get assassinated. The core values are they're the team values that everyone agrees on and are stakeholders in.
Yes.
And that a values-based leadership, a values-based company can not just hire on values, but they can control and monitor the performance and the culture of the entire business based on how well they're matched to the values.
Yeah.
To the point where people can actually even self-regulate. They can recognize when they're performance is not actually meeting the values of the business, and there's a misalignment, and quite often everyone around them's like, hey, you're not doing it, you're not part of our culture the way that that's happening. So they actually tuck back in.
Yeah, I can imagine that at a certain mass of people, and it wouldn't be a big number, there would be a strong social influence
it's a peer group.
Yeah, it's
and
a peer group.
Then it's a way that the peer group can identify.
This is how we roll.
Yeah, this is who we are. This is what we're about. It's bigger than one person.
Yeah.
It also takes care of superstars who think they're God's gift to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And really the key is for the owner of the business or us or the leader to not think that they're special or above the values either. The values should actually be reflected.
They should reflect your own values. Yeah.
Well, they should, yeah.
Because that's the business you're going to build.
Exactly. You know? And when the business takes on a personality and an extension that leverages something good and creates value on a bigger basis, it's really quite a special thing.
Yep. You know, we also talked about something that also is very strong in your business, which I thought was great, is how open you are with the team. About, and again, this comes from those core values of openness and transparency.
Communication's one of our values,
a big deal, you know, and just the fact that we share the logins to all of those systems, and the team are aware of the numbers that the business needs to do, and all of those things, so that they are they're very much stakeholders, and they're obviously I've been privy to some of the team conversations that you just hear that they're just. They love working as part of your team.
Yeah, you know? and they're just absolute superstars.
They're rock stars, mate.
And I think probably a lot of employers aren't giving their employees enough credit for what they're capable of. And it's really the switch between command and conquer, which was, I think, probably should have leveled out in maybe the 70s or potentially the 80s, but I certainly still had bosses in the 90s. That really thought they were Jesus, but aside from that, it's sharing in and recognize that you don't actually know all the answers. No. You don't have to know all the answers as the owner or the leader. You just have to be able to facilitate those good ideas being generated and create a risk-free environment for people to innovate and contribute without feeling that they're going to be attacked or reprimanded or buttoned down or contained. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure anyone who's had a job and a bad boss can relate to what I'm talking about here. You want to be an employer of choice, somewhere where somebody wants to come to work, where they want to feel a part of it. And that's, I think, once you get the people side of a business right, it allows you to grow. And again, perhaps some of the stuff we're talking about might feel like it's above the scope of an internet marketing blog. But if you question why the term internet marketer has started to become a grubby term, it's because some bandits out there have been doing the old Wild West snake oil thing, and that's not how you run a business. That's how you run a scam. And I think they're slowly dying and disappearing. And what you'll see is the people in the internet space or the digital space, we can clean it up a bit, when their SEOs become inbound marketers and relabeled, ultimately the people who are going to have thriving businesses and who actually make a profit and design a business around the lifestyle that they want will be the ones who understand some of the better strategies like veneering and who can lead a team who are happy to actually be a part of it. And that's essential. And also you're paying attention to the numbers and you're actually responsible for what's going on and actively making clever decisions about it.
Yeah, I think the real difference when you boil it down, and this is a change, this is me summarising you, is internet marketing is just a channel. It's not a business by itself.
Exactly.
So the people that will succeed are people who are running it like it's a business. They're solving real problems for real people. They just happen to be using the internet to do it.
Well, Steve-O, it's been great to catch up. And I think it's a testimony to the workshop that we're across these topics so well. The process that we were talking about, by the way, was the Wealthification Program, which is something that I'm putting together to help internet marketers in particular become better business operators. But it is also, it's a business market product, but I think internet marketers really need to get a hold of that. So I might post a teaser video up on Internet Marketing Speed at some point. If you want me to do that, just post a comment on this iTunes for us.
This has been another edition of Internet Marketing Speed with James Schramko. For more handy tips on how you can build your internet business, check out James's blog, internetmarketingspeed.com.